We're ripped and we're ready.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to the beginning of another week here at Superhuman Radio. We've got a lot of great shows planned all week long. And we're going to start right out with a very, very important one, an important discussion. During the first hour, we'll be speaking with Dr. John Sievenpiper about dietary fructose. And hopefully I'll learn something valuable during the first hour. During the second hour, we have two different interviews taking place. The first half hour, we'll be joined by Matt Cahill from Driven Sports. You know, we did the interview with Matt quite some time ago when Driven Sports was pulled into a lawsuit in California and accused of spiking one of their supplements with amphetamines. And we're going to talk about the outcome of that lawsuit. And then we're going to be joined by Evan Dollard, who is with Quest Nutrition. They introduced a new protein bar that I have to tell you, I can't stop eating them. This is not only the best protein bar I've ever tasted, but it's the best Quest protein bar, which really is saying something because, you know, Quest Nutrition has really elevated the bar of standard for the supplement industry in the category of protein bars. And this new bar, the chocolate chip cookie dough bar, which I don't even like chocolate chip cookie dough of other products and MRPs, these things are unbelievable. So we're going to talk to them and a little bit about that. But let's go ahead and get started, first of all. Dr. John Sievenpiper is with the Dr. Sievenpiper, I'm going to ask you to recite this for me. You are with the
I'm with the Toronto 3D Knowledge Synthesis and Clinical Trials Unit here at St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto, Canada.
That's a lot to say. It really
That's
a lot. What is 3D knowledge?
3D knowledge. So it's, the acronym stands for diet, digestive tract, and disease.
Oh, I like
knowledge
that.
Synthesis unit.
Oh my God, you guys are great. You know, okay, we'll get into the whole fructose, dietary fructose thing in a second, but digestive tract, we have been doing shows left and right about the importance of the microbiome on not only the etiology of disease and immune function, but so much more now. It's becoming so apparent to us that it's so much more than just some probiotics here and there. So are you guys doing that kind of research there as well in the area of digestion?
We're not doing any direct research on the microbiome, but there are people within our department at the University of Toronto that are working quite actively in that area, and it's certainly, as you say, a very exciting area.
Very, very exciting. Okay, so I have perhaps misspoken on my show in the past, as I avoid dietary fructose quite often. Occasionally I'll have strawberries, blackberries, raspberries, those types of things because they're kind of low in fructose. And I like apples, I do. But by and large, I am of the opinion that dietary fructose, from fruit especially, is not the best thing if your goal, your primary goal is the reduction of and then maintenance of low body fat levels. Am I wrong on that?
Well, what I would say is there's not a lot of good direct research in humans on the question of whether dietary fructose affects body fatness. But we have certainly looked at it in terms of body weight gain and other measures of adiposity. And what I can tell you is that we don't see any signal for harm that's any greater or different from any other form of carbohydrate which you substitute the fructose for. So, for example, we published a study last year in the Annals of Internal Medicine where we looked at quite a few clinical trials in humans, nearly just over 30 trials in humans and almost 700 people, looking at isocaloric substitution, meaning if you exchange fructose from the carbohydrate source, holding the energy or calories equal. And what we found was it does not increase body weight anymore, doesn't lead to a difference in body weight any different from any other form of carbohydrate.
Okay.
And that's just, now I want to say that that's, yes, despite what people may think based on its biochemistry, because I do want to acknowledge there's a good biological plausibility for why people think that. And when certainly in my medical training and my undergraduate scientific training, when I took biochemistry courses, we all learned that fructose is metabolized differently than glucose and can act as what we call an unregulated substrate for making new fat.
Right.
So it's this concern was there. We know in animal studies, yes, you can have wonderful models of making animals fat, highly reproducible for inducing greater fatness and a metabolic, we call a metabolic syndrome phenotype, which means all the problems with blood lipids and blood sugars and blood pressure that goes with that. And we know that we can do that quite reproducibly in animals, so much so that these animal models are used to study drugs and just so the pharmacology of drugs, to study physiology. They're fantastic models. But these models don't appear to hold true in humans, and there's probably a couple of reasons. One, they feed fructose at extremely superphysiologic levels. They feed them fructose at 60% of energy. So can you imagine if you're having 60% of your calories from fructose? I mean, no one does that.
Wait. No one does that, but there are fruitarians out there who do that.
I don't think, I would doubt still that they'd be absorbing 60% of their energy from fructose. I don't know, I haven't looked at good studies of fruitarians, but I suspect that they do also take carbohydrate from starch that can be in vegetables and fruits. So I suspect that it probably still wouldn't reach 60%, but I might be wrong on that. But this is not, first of all, it's fruit in these animal studies. This is pure crystalline fructose.
Right.
So it doesn't have dietary fiber to slow the absorption.
And we want to talk about that too when we talk about high fructose corn syrup as well.
Yeah. But what I want to say is that those animal models, when we look in humans, and we do the same thing, but not at those levels, although we do tend to in our human studies still feed extremely large quantities. We don't see that when we do the same with glucose or the same with starch that you get a different result in terms of weight.
And why is that in humans? What is the mechanism that we see in our little rodent buddies that we don't have, or vice versa, that does not cause this increase in triglyceride production from the fructose ingestion?
No, I mean, that's a terrific question. Now, I will say, I think in humans, just to start, before I don't want to mislead people.
Yeah.
If you overconsume fructose, if fructose provides excess energy, if you're not in energy balance and you're consuming excess energy and you're getting a lot of it from fructose, then we do see all these same abnormalities. You can see an increase in triglycerides, for example, an increase in body weight, an increase in uric acid levels, an increase in blood sugar, but all of these things really are predicted by the excess calories. Because if we overfeed any food, in particular any form of other carbohydrate, we would expect to see the same thing. So
right.
It's not that it's behaving differently. It seems that it's really the contribution of energy. Now, so let me say that. So if you overconsume it, you can expect to see all of those things. So I don't want to suggest that it means that people can go crazy. What I'm saying is that at population levels of intake, not necessarily fruitarians, but at population levels of intake, for the amount that's being consumed, we don't, and as long as one's maintaining their calorie requirements, not gaining weight, we don't see these adverse effects. Now, what's different between animals and humans? Well, that's a very good question, important question to ask, because we need to look at comparative physiology to understand why, because we have to ask that question, why is it not, we're not seeing it in humans?
Right.
And what you note in animals is that animals, rats, mice, pigs, chickens, they're extremely good at making fat from carbohydrate in general. So
better than humans.
Better than humans. So
really?
When you would say, we call it de novo lipogenesis. So in rodent models, for example, they can make, you know, 96%, up to 96% of the fat. Even this is high carbohydrate feeding models, even where they're maintaining energy, but up to 96% of the fat comes from carbohydrate. So when we look at the new fat, and if we do stable isotope studies, so we can actually label the carbohydrate with an isotope so that we can follow it and see where that the carbons from that carbohydrate, that sugar, go, we see that like 96% of the fat, new fat that's made, will have these carbons from carbohydrates. So they basically, you're getting a lot of fat being made from carbohydrate in the mouse, for example, and it's greater than 50% in general in the rat, can be 70 to 80% chicken and pig. Whereas in humans, it's very, very hard, even under, so under high carbohydrate feeding, even when you're overfeeding, providing excess calories, like 25% or 50% more calories than you need, where you'd be gaining weight, it's very hard to push it past 10%. Mm. And in reality, we actually see it less than 5%. And when people have done very careful studies, and they've taken fructose and they've labeled the carbons in fructose with isotopes and looked where do these carbons go,
right.
It's not quite what the biochemistry textbooks tell us. So it's not all going to fat. In fact, less than 3% probably is. The majority actually goes to glucose. So the fructose is actually converted to glucose and then can be burned as carbon dioxide.
Wow, now that's glycogen. Contrary. See, I always was told that, you know, it has to become a triglyceride first, in the liver before it can then be converted back. So there was a couple steps before. So what you're saying is, even if that is the case, it's still showing up in the blood as glucose.
Yeah, you actually, if you follow the carbons, as it were, like you, so you do these, the
yeah,
calls,
that's great.
These sort of catheterization of the liver and you put across the fructose where the fructose is metabolized. It's not what you'd expect to see based on animal models and the biochemistry is you'd expect to see the majority of it appearing in fat. New triglycerides. But in fact, you don't. You see the majority in glucose, so then about 25% appears in lactate, greater than 15% in glycogen, which is a storage form for glucose.
Sure.
And then the rest is sort of just, you see it burnt off in carbon dioxide, so about 50% of that will appear in your breath CO2, for example, as you're sort of oxidizing.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back,
sure.
I want to pick back up with glycogen, and I want to find out more about glycogen. We're talking this hour with Dr. John Stephen Piper. We're talking about dietary fructose, and the conversation is going to take lots of directions. Stay tuned. You're listening to Super Human Radio. We'll be right back. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RGCell Cell banner ad today.
Extreme Formulations is the only company with a proprietary diet protein product with a 49% whey to 51% casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It also contains micro encapsulation essential fatty acids, so they're stable in the bottle to deliver a muscle building punch. And it tastes great too. Flavors like banana cream, chocolate peanut butter, cookies and cream, and many more. All their dairy protein is from right here in the USA. It's 100% made in America. Go to XFMuscle.com and get your Ultra Peptide 2.0 today. Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Showtime. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. John Stephen Piper. We're talking about dietary fructose. Okay, getting back to the whole glycogen synthesis, is it true that fructose is ideal if wanting to replenish a hepatic glycogen, liver glycogen?
This is actually a terrific question. So this is what gets to one of the other mechanisms that, you know, is not probably so well covered in biochemistry textbooks and in the literature when we're talking about fructose, and that there's this other mechanism which is really concentrated in the liver that has to do with how the metabolism of fructose actually improves the metabolism of glucose so that you can actually get greater glycogen synthesis. So whereas we think that fructose being its metabolism being unregulated and being able to contribute to fat, the other mechanism actually, because it's unregulated and it fluxes quite quickly into cells, you get a lot of the first step in the pathway, which is called fructose 1-phosphate. And this particular molecule can actually displace an important regulatory protein from the first step that's used in glycolysis, that's to metabolize glucose, so that it's free to enter into the cells from the nucleus and to metabolize incoming glucose. So this has been shown in vitro, and there's been some really exciting and interesting work done in humans with stable isotopes again. So these are the most elegant studies we have where we can really control the conditions in humans. We can give them a fructose or control. We can infuse it. We can label the carbons in these things and see where they go. And what you actually find is you get an increase in flux through glycogen synthase. Now, this is when fructose is consumed at small amounts, catalytic amounts, which are the so-called catalytic amounts, so it's having this catalytic effect, which is about less than 10 grams for a given meal, which would be the level obtainable from fruit. So, for example, a medium-sized apple would have about 10 grams.
Right.
And this is actually improving glycogen synthesis, not of the fructose. It's not that the fructose carbons are actually going and making more glycogen. It's of the co-ingested glucose. So if you were consuming the fructose, you can actually improve the flux of glucose through its pathway, so you get greater glycogen synthesis. And this has been done very carefully at Yale University using very, very specialized techniques, and they've shown this very elegantly. And it's also been shown at Albert Einstein in New York in people with diabetes, where you can actually improve or decrease what they call hepatic glucose output, which is you don't want a lot of sugar leaking out of your liver, especially if you have diabetes. And this can actually improve the liver's sensitivity to glucose so that it doesn't leak too much. So it's a really interesting mechanism. And what I'll say is, do we have any proof? You know, the question then is, well, does this actually work? So
right.
We say the same thing in animals. See this thing in animals, does it actually bear out? So we've seen this in these elegant human studies, but what if you consume fructose in a chronic way? Do you actually see this, or is other stuff going on? Well, that's an interesting question, because back in the early 1980s, there was actually a lot of interest in fructose, as an alternative sweetener or an alternative sugar in people with diabetes.
Right. I was just going to say, because of diabetes,
Yes, because there was, and it really came out of a lot of the work of my mentor, who's David Jenkins, who invented the glycemic index. Because in his initial study in 1981 that he published, he showed that fructose, for example, has a glycemic index of 20, whereas glucose would have a glycemic index of 100. So on a glucose scale where glucose is 100, fructose has basically 20% of the ability to raise your blood sugar, as does glucose.
Right.
So there was a lot of interest in this. And so some people started to study very carefully using the best design we have, which is really the randomized controlled trial, which allows us to sort of hold all the other confounders at bay and just really isolate the effect. Is there something to fructose or not? And what they found was actually, in this initial study that was done in the 80s after the publication of the glycemic index, was yes, indeed, you actually improve blood sugar control. And we went and analyzed all of the data since the data's been published. It really goes back well into the 70s and 60s. And we put all of that data together and did what we call a meta-analysis of these very well-controlled studies. And what we found was and vindication for fructose, if you like, and of this, the hypothesis, yes, indeed, that across these studies, and again, this is a large number of clinical trials, small trials though in humans, you see an improvement in blood sugar control in people with diabetes and those without, compared with other forms of carbohydrate.
Wait, there's something important that you said, and those without. In other words, even if you don't have diabetes, this can help you maintain stable blood sugar levels.
Exactly. So we published the one study in last July in Diabetes Care. We showed it for diabetes, but we've since looked at all the studies in all comers, people with diabetes, those without, and we found it doesn't really matter whether you have diabetes or not, we still see the same benefits. So there's an improvement overall in blood sugar levels. Now, this may relate to this catalytic fructose type mechanism that we talked about it to open. It may be also because of the low glycemic index. This just has a lower blood sugar raising ability compared to other forms of carbohydrate in the diet. Whatever the mechanism is, the issue here is that it works. So when you actually look at this over the longer term, you see improvements in blood sugar control.
Okay, so I want to stay with this. Just give me a second here. Now, okay, first of all, there glycemic index is this this broad stroke number that basically says postprandial blood sugar levels will rise using glucose as the benchmark, you know, which is 100.
Exactly.
However,
right.
Lots of things influence postprandial blood sugar levels, and one of those is the mechanical effects of gastric emptying. But in the case of fructose, is it because it does have like a couple steps to convert that it before blood sugar is actually seen elevating in postprandial cases?
I think that's, you've hit the nail on the head. So the issue then is glycemic index really is a measure of the absorption, how rapid the absorption is of sugar. But it's also not just the absorption, it's also the conversion of non-glucose sugars to glucose. So you're basically, what you're seeing then is, first of all, fructose itself has a slower absorption, and you can even get some malabsorption, because we know if we overfeed our subjects fructose, for example, you get a lot of gastrointestinal symptoms.
That's right.
So you can get decreased absorption, that's one. Two, although the absorption's helped by co-ingestion with glucose. And two is there's this conversion then. So as I said before, when they did this carefully done studies with stable isotopes, they found that about 50% went to glucose. So that requires steps, many steps, to actually get there. So what you're basically seeing is the delay in the production of glucose, and that's why you see the lower rise in glucose, and a very, very weak stimulating effect on insulin compared to glucose. The other side of it is you don't get that insulin rise that you
and
would.
This is important because we know that, you know, maintaining low blood sugar and low insulin levels may influence cellular senescence. There's lots of good research out of Canada, actually, that we've done shows on. So we all want to maintain healthy but on the low end blood sugar levels.
Yep.
And we want to influence as little as possible the insulinogenic response. So
exactly.
With that being said, the sports industry is spending millions of dollars on high molecular weight starches that do not influence blood sugar levels to a great degree because these starches are absorbed further down the digestive tract.
Right.
They do not cause a high elevation in blood sugar postprandial and the obviously in concert increase in insulin and are said to allow muscle glycogen storage to occur at a much greater rate. And people spend hundreds of dollars on jugs of these very, very complex starches that come from amylose and, you know, potato and everything else. Are they wasting their money? Should they just eat fruit?
I don't think we have good data comparing any of these things head to head. What I would say is that, on a very basic level, there may be something there to fruit, just based on the mechanisms I described and this improvement in blood sugar level. But I don't know that we have really good data looking at the actual glycogen that you get following fructose feeding versus glucose. And again, remember, you need the fructose in the fruit or that level of catalytic dose along with the glucose to get that benefit, right, in terms of glycogen synthesis. So it's not that the fructose is making all the glycogen. It's that fructose is helping the liver to make glycogen from the glucose.
Is there some amount of glucose in most fruits, or is it exclusively fructose?
There is some, but it's almost exclusive. I mean, most of it, I'll say, is fructose. Yeah, there is some glucose.
So it sounds to me, one of the things that lots of sports nutrition advocates will do post-workout, after a very intense workout, whether it be a cardiovascular endurance type workout or a heavy resistance training session for like an hour or so more, where we know that we've depleted a lot of ability to produce ATP and glycogen is depleted as well. What they'll do immediately after is take 40 to 50 grams of a fast digesting protein, like a whey protein, for instance. And they'll combine that with up to 80 grams of dextrose, which obviously the purpose of this is to both spike insulin and make readily available glycogen to replenish muscle storage of glycogen. It sounds to me, and I could be wrong, but for those advocates of that type of an approach, which I'm not necessarily an advocate of that, because I'm one of the guys who says, look, I'm 54 years old, and I don't want to spike insulin as much as possible, and I also want to keep blood sugar levels very, very level, because there's a lot of longevity benefits to that. But for those out there who would adhere to that type of aggressive post-workout nutrition, it sounds to me that they would be better off splitting their carbohydrate load to half dextrose, half fructose. Is that a stretch, or am I really stretching to make that conclusion?
Or I guess what we would say, I think you're on the right track. I mean, from this data, if you're going to extrapolate from it, I think you have to be careful when we extrapolate. But I mean, what we're talking about here is what we call a catalytic dose. This is less than 10 grams. So it wouldn't be half and half. You would just, what you might do though is if you're taking your dextrose,
yes,
you just have that with an apple. Right? Or if you want to actually be scientific about it, you know, and you've bought crystalline fructose, you know, just tap in 10 grams, you know, with your dextrose load, just to help the liver metabolism of that to produce
because,
more
because
glycogen.
the whole purpose of drinking 80 grams of dextrose is exclusively to a rapid onset of blood sugar levels that will then feed glycogen resynthesis for muscle and liver. But what you're saying here is with the addition of 10 grams of fructose, we have a much more efficient end result if that's the goal.
I mean, that's what the sort of preliminary science suggests to us, that the liver handles the glucose better. And we've seen that with improvement in glycemic control in people with diabetes and those without, which suggests it's handling the glucose better. And from this evidence, yes, that you can, that handling means greater glycogen synthesis. What I will say though, there is a difference between the liver and muscle. So the muscle obviously requires, when there's an oxygen debt, you can get greater glucose transport across. But in general, it's mediated by a transporter, which is glucose transporter four.
Right.
And that's an insulin requiring transporter.
Right.
So you need the insulin surge. So you still need that high glycemic index carbohydrate to stimulate the insulin so that the glucose ends up into the cells, and then that under the influence of insulin and with that glucose influx, you can make muscle glycogen. Whereas the liver doesn't need that. It basically will make it from the glucose it sees from the gastrointestinal tract because it just gets it on first pass. And it may be helped by the fructose. I don't know that we can extrapolate too much in terms of muscle glycogen with fructose. It's more the liver glycogen that I was referring to.
No, and I agree. But liver glycogen is critical as well, because if you have long, arduous training sessions, we know that the liver is like a battery. And as muscle glycogen levels start to drop, the liver, I want to say through the stimulation from glucagon, will release its glycogen into the bloodstream. And that glycogen can be both picked up by muscle and used as a source of immediate energy as well. So one can assume, I think, and again, I'm not accredited, so I can assume a lot of things that you can't, and no one's going to threaten to take my degree away from me. But one could assume that if you are training to a level where you are depleting muscle glycogen, then the release of glycogen from the liver to some degree, whether it's a very small amount or a large amount, is occurring. So it makes sense to throw 10 grams of fructose with your dextrose and your post-workout meal. I just like the idea. I just have a feeling that it's a wise thing to do.
I certainly think there's no harm, and the evidence would suggest that you might see greater glycogen synthesis. So I think that's a fair inference.
Okay, we have to take a break. When we come back, I want to change the topic just slightly, and I want to start to talk about high fructose corn syrup for a second. Is it the devil? Is it not? We're talking this hour with Dr. John Stephen Piper. We're talking about dietary fructose. The discussion is going to change to high fructose corn syrup when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Save money and gain performance and health benefits with Way Natural USA. They are overstocked and having a blowout sale on 2.5 pound jugs of grass-fed whey. This awesome product comes from Amish-fed cows inside the USA. Way Natural USA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite method and comes with only 3 ingredients, grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Save big. Just click the Way Natural USA banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Get a free sample plus a 15% discount with free shipping coupon product for the first 100 customers. Guys and gals, are you over 30 with a poor sex drive, gaining unwanted fat, or feel weak or tired? You may be suffering from hormone imbalances that can be treated affordably by physician-supervised hormone therapy. Why wait to feel like you again? Call Core Medical Group now to schedule your hormone check and save $100 when you mention Superhuman Radio. Call 617-869-7961. That's 617-869-7961. Physical and medical history required prior to therapy. Some restrictions apply. Call for details, 617-869-7961. Feel like you again. Calling all men. The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro anabolic supplements. Visit ironmaglabs.com and check out our top selling products: Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultra Male RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at ironmaglabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the product you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Dr. John Sievenpiper. We're talking about dietary fructose. Obviously, when we talk about dietary fructose earlier in the show, we're talking exclusively about fruit and natural forms of fructose delivery. However, we know that there's a lot more going on in the area of high fructose corn syrup as sweeteners in so many different products, not just even as sweeteners. They change high fructose corn syrup is used in bread to change the mouthfeel. Quite often, if you find fat-free products, you'll find, along with other thickening agents, high fructose corn syrup, because it has the ability to make your tongue feel like there's fat in a product. So we do consume, if you consume a lot of processed foods, a lot of high fructose corn syrup. Is that a game changer, Dr. Sievenpiper?
I mean, I think that there has been this trend to see, you know, sugar entering into, I wouldn't just say high fructose corn syrup. I mean, first of all, I want to say that there's no evidence, and this has been studied quite carefully, that sucrose and high fructose corn syrup behave differently. There are those that believe that they do, but I mean, if you do a careful look at the scientific evidence, And you look at studies where they've done head-to-head comparisons with sucrose and fructose corn syrup, both with the absorption of them and their metabolism, there are downstream effects. You don't see any difference. So I think for all intents and purposes, and even, and I would say experts across, most, you know, I would say credible experts, both against sugars, for sugars, or neutral, have really come to this conclusion that there is no difference. Those who are against it would say sucrose is just as bad. Those that think that maybe the evidence isn't being quite looked at as carefully as it should be, I would be in that camp. I'm also saying that there's really no difference between sucrose and high fructose corn syrup. To your point, we are seeing a lot of processed foods, and it's really used to increase the shelf life, as you said, and also, and to increase the palatability. So if you're taking away fat or you're taking away things, of course, you'd expect that the food industry is going to put some of these things in so that you still find their products palatable and they can still continue to sell them. So I don't think it's unexpected, or we should be surprised that they're doing these sorts of things.
What about this notion? I did a show several years ago on high fructose corn syrup, and now, in retrospect, it's probably done on rodents, and we already established that what happens in humans and what happens in rodents seems to be very different, or in chickens or other animals, because they're much more efficient at turning things into fat to begin with. But with that being said, we did a study, we did a show several years ago that attempted to prove that high fructose corn syrup, the fructose in it is unbound, whatever mm-hmm. that means, and that because it's unbound, that it acts differently in the body. Is there any truth to that?
So, I mean, that's where kind of people come to it from that standpoint. So, the thing to understand, when I think we need to understand what's the difference between sucrose and high fructose corn syrup. So you hit on the first thing, which is, I think, the most important difference, that fructose in sucrose is bound to glucose. So sucrose is made up of glucose and fructose, and they're bound to each other, whereas high fructose corn syrup is free fructose and free glucose. So in sucrose, it's about 50-50. In high fructose corn syrup, the most common high fructose corn syrup on the market is the so-called HFCS 55. That means it has 55% fructose, 45% glucose, whereas sucrose has 50-50 by weight. So that's just to differentiate it. Now, in it being unbound, there's this belief that somehow it'll be absorbed faster in the intestine because you don't need sucrase, which is the enzyme we have in the intestine, to actually break the bond right. and release, liberate the fructose from the glucose, the two can be absorbed. Well, that doesn't seem to be a real rate-limiting step, because when you actually compare the absorption of high fructose corn syrup and sucrose, so again, you label them, what you actually find is that, and you adjust for the fact that the high fructose corn syrup is 55% and sucrose is 50%, the absorption actually isn't any different. You might have a slightly higher amount of high fructose corn syrup appearing in the blood sooner, but it's not statistically different from what you'd see from sucrose. It's not a real difference when they've studied it carefully. So the absorption really is a non-starter, that the absorption is similar. You might have some people that would disagree with that, but if you look at the data, and there was some data published last year where they did a head-to-head, it's no different. Mm-hmm. So that's the absorption. And then once it's absorbed, it's no different, because right. the fructose from sucrose has been liberated from the glucose, so it's now free fructose in your system,
right.
as is the fructose from high fructose corn syrup. So when the liver sees it, which is the first real organ to see it, and for that matter, the enterocytes that line your intestine, it looks no different to them, to those enterocytes or to your liver, than does the fructose from sucrose.
Vitamin C is thought to affect the presence of sugar in the blood by prolonging its ability to stay in the blood. In fact, when people go for a glucose challenge test, they're instructed not to use any vitamin C supplements because it could actually prolong the body's ability to maintain high postprandial sugar levels. And yet we find vitamin C in a lot of fruit along with fructose. Does that play a role in possibly some of the effects of fructose on body fat storage? And if so, does that mean that citrus fruits that contain both vitamin C and fructose should be considered differently?
The vitamin C, actually, when they talk about fructose in fruit, for example, when they talk about vitamin C, and they also talk about dietary fibers being protective. So those that are strong sort of antagonists, sort of suggesting that, you know, fructose is leading to all these horrible metabolic downstream effects, they're suggesting that the reason it's not the case for fruit is because of the presence of vitamin C and fiber. So it actually improves its metabolism. So it's a little bit counterintuitive to the way you were describing it. So you actually get less fructose exposure, and it mitigates a lot of the adverse effects. So it's the opposite.
Okay, actually. Which now begs the question. There are only a handful of creatures on this planet that do not manufacture their own vitamin C in their liver.
Correct.
Humans and I
guinea
think
pigs.
Guinea pigs, those poor
yep.
bastards. But anyway, does this play a role in why fructose acts differently in animal model studies versus humans?
It may well be the case. The other thing is that in humans, although it's not quite, doesn't make a lot of sense necessarily, but in animals they can make uricase, which helps to break up uric acid. And one of the sort of main sort of central hypotheses, we talked about increasing the production of fat through de novo lipogenesis. We talked about this beneficial effect potentially of catalytic doses that improve glycogen synthesis. The other mechanism they talk about is this uric acid mechanism, where fructose actually leads to greater uric acid production, and that's thought to be kind of central in the development of metabolic syndrome and
gout. And you know what? Gout is all the rage nowadays. And you know what they do when somebody has gout? The first thing they tell them is you have to stop eating beef and protein. I happen to know what you're talking about. And they should be telling them you also have to address some of your carbohydrate consumption as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and really, it's a classic disease of overconsumption too. So it tends to cluster with the metabolic syndrome, in that it's in people that are overweight, that are over-consuming calories for what their caloric requirements are. That's part of the issue, because you're basically challenging the body with an excess amount that it can't metabolize. What's interesting, just as a digression, is that, and we were talking about glycemic index, is when we look at glycemic index in the prospective cohort studies, where they just look at people's dietary glycemic index and see their rate of getting diabetes and coronary heart disease and so on, what you find actually is there's this interaction with BMI, so that if you're slight and thin, that is, you're maintaining your energy balance through exercise or because you happen to be a fast metabolizer. It doesn't matter whether you have high or low glycemic index, because you're able to handle the carbohydrate because you're thin. It's people that are overweight that you tend to see this interaction where that they get actually increased risk or greater effect in these people in terms of heart disease risk and diabetes risk. And it's likely just because they are not meeting their energy requirements and they're over-consuming. So I just want to go back to say that when we looked at the question carefully of fructose, does it have harm in terms of these what we call cardiometabolic problems and body fatness and so on? Yes, it does when you over-consume it. If you're consuming more calories than you need, you're not maintaining your weight, and you're consuming a large amount, then yes, you see an increase in body weight. Yes, you see an increase in triglycerides. Yes, you see an increase in uric acid. You see an increase in fatty liver. You see actually the adverse effect on glycemia and blood sugar and insulin. So you see high glucose when you don't want it, fasting glucose. You see high insulin when you don't want it. So you see all these adverse effects when you're consuming more of it than you need, so you're exceeding your energy requirements. So I think it's really important to put in that context. So in terms of your listeners, those that are, you know, that are really maintaining their weight because they're very, very actively controlling what goes in and what goes out in terms of their workouts, that they're not going to have the same issues with fructose as is someone that is having real struggles with their weight and is over-consuming calories.
One last question about the problems with fructose. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to know, is there anything good that we should know about fructose other than its ability to perhaps influence the synthesis of glycogen? Fructose and high fructose corn syrup has been implicated in the development of kidney stones. Is there any linkage between fructose and the development of kidney stones?
What I would say is that in a lot of these cases where they've linked fructose or high fructose corn syrup to, for example, the epidemics of obesity or diabetes, there was one that came out last year from California where they did this. These are what they call ecological analysis. This is generally considered a very weak form of evidence, where they just simply correlate things. So they just let's look at diabetes, let's look at gout, or let's look at overweight and obesity, and let's look at fructose. And sure enough, fructose is going up as we introduce high fructose corn syrup, and we see an increase in overweight and obesity, we see an increase in kidney stones and these things. The problem with these analyses is that they don't take into account energy. Energy's also been going up, or sedentary behaviors, like people are driving.
They don't take into account a lot of things.
Nothing is adjusted for. It's just they're very seductive, and they're interesting, but when you have to take that data and then say, let's look at it carefully now. When you look at it carefully, you don't see these relationships. So it's in these sorts of studies. The other ones are case control studies, people that already have stones, and you can go back and look at their diet, but you can get recall bias with those. So the way to really answer that question is you have to look at the highest level of evidence we have, which is randomized controlled trials, because they basically control for all those confounders. And then the next level would be even prospective cohort studies, where you can look at populations, but you measure what they're eating, and then you look and see if they develop disease, as opposed to get them when they have disease and then look back and see if we can find something in their diet. So when you look at the best evidence that we use for clinical practice guidelines and public policy, we don't see good evidence to support those claims.
You know, I wish they would have that same attitude about the lipid hypothesis, the cholesterol hypothesis, and heart disease, because Dr. Ansel Keys basically did that same type of research to come to the conclusion that cholesterol led to heart disease. You know, that the populations that he studied, he didn't correct for cigarette smoking, alcohol consumption, or anything like that. It was just amazing. But
no, it's exactly right. I think that's important criticism. I mean, there's been a lot of other data that came out that supports and doesn't support that hypothesis, or for that matter, sugars. But I think that those initial data were they're very weak level of evidence.
Yeah. Let's take a last commercial break. When we come back, I want to know if your group has studied any of the benefits of fructose that we haven't discussed. We're talking this hour with Dr. John Sievenpiper, and we're talking about dietary fructose, and the discussion will continue. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Matt Cahill from Driven Sports to talk about the Craze lawsuit. Was there really amphetamines in Craze? Is that why I liked it so much? We'll find out. Be right back.
Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RGCell banner ad today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Are you in the midst of cutting body fat? Feel exhausted when it's time to train but don't want to use pre-workout drinks because they're loaded with sugar and carbs? Ice V2 is here to help you get intense while carbohydrate depleted. Ice V2 has only 1 gram of non-sugar carbs per serving. Ice V2 is loaded with strength-amplifying anabolic activators that will make your workouts more productive while allowing you to cut the fat. Cut the fat. Loaded with amino acids, Ice V2 contains the unique Formel Norvaline that acts as a pump amplifier. Get Ice V2 today at xfmuscle.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Super Human Radio. We're talking with Dr. John Stephen Piper. We're talking about dietary fructose. Okay, so any of your research other than enhanced glycogen production as a catalyst, any other benefits that we should know about from fructose that should not be ignored?
So that's a great question. So, I mean, I guess up to this point, we've said in terms of weight, you know, we think a calorie is a calorie when it comes to fructose. Where it's not, though, is maybe in terms of improving, compared to other carbohydrates, improving blood sugar control, potentially through an increase in glycogen synthesis has been shown. And we've shown that both people with diabetes and those without. So it looks like, and I want to add that that benefit is clinically significant benefit. So the improvement in blood sugar control that one sees with fructose is about the same one would see with what they call an oral hypoglycemic agent, so an anti-diabetic drug, at the lower limit of what its efficacy would be.
Really?
What we're seeing in terms of the improvement. And it's more than what the FDA would say is the minimum meaningful effect in terms of drug development, in terms of their guidance for drug development. So it's a clinically significant effect, so I'll say that. And it's something that came out of this research where we were trying to address the question, well, is there harm? So I think we need to look at studies that actually address whether there is a benefit and are designed appropriately to actually look at that. And that's one thing that we'll be doing here is doing a large trial to look at small doses of fructose at a level obtainable from fruit, because certainly at a level attainable from fruit, we look at those levels, which is about 10 grams per meal. So we say, if you count for snacks, let's say less than 36 grams per day. We actually see an improvement in blood sugar that's the same, and we definitely don't see any signals for harm in terms of triglycerides or blood pressure, that sort of thing. The other place we've seen a benefit, and that's, again, maintaining energy, not gaining weight, moderate doses. Now, where we other place we've seen a benefit, potentially, again, our question is, was there harm, but we ended up being surprised and seeing a benefit, was for blood pressure. So whereas we actually have a lot of really nice animal models of hypertension, so the hypertensive rat model of fructose overfeeding, we actually see in humans when you, as long as you maintain energy levels and you maintain it equally with other forms of carbohydrate, you see an improvement in diastolic blood pressure, that's the number on the bottom, and mean arterial pressure. So that suggests that there might be an overall benefit or a net benefit certainly in terms of metabolism.
That is very cool. I mean,
is it moderate amounts, maintaining energy? I don't want to suggest that means one can overdo it and expect to
see and
benefit.
And that's an important point, and I'll tell you why. One of my biggest frustrations with dietary recommendations is the verbiage.
Absolutely.
Fruit and vegetables. Fruit always precedes vegetables. I really think it should be reversed in all the dietary recommendation organizations and groups that have any type of jurisdiction on recommending dietary consumption. It should be vegetables and fruit, because the takeaway of that subliminally is, and I know a lot of people that eat a lot of fruit because they feel like it's healthy and it's I'm supposed to eat more fruit than vegetables, because that's why they say make sure you eat your fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I'm newly converted. Alisa, who is the co-host of my show on Fridays, always gets upset with me because she says, you know, you don't eat any fruit. You're missing out on the benefits that are found in fruits. You know, we're talking about bioflavonoids and, you know, other active agents in there that have been shown to impart some benefit, antioxidants, blah, 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 blah. And I say, well, because, you know, fruit becomes fat. I really just don't want anything. I'll just live without it. So I'm going to start eating fruit again, okay? But I'm going to stay in the recommendations. I'm not going to eat more than 36 grams a day and probably even less than that. I'll start with a couple apples a day and that's it. But I think that people need to get the message that fruit should not be a primary item in your diet.
Now, what I would say to that is I think maybe if there are people that are taking it to extreme, you may be right. But I would say that that's a small part of the population. Because what we know actually looking at the dietary surveys is that people don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. And the problem is if they don't, then changes in diet don't happen in a vacuum. Then what are they eating instead? And if it's highly processed, high glycemic index food or carbohydrate sources where they've had a lot of the micronutrients stripped away, a lot of the dietary fiber, I think that there's probably more harm to be done there than there is with having whole fruit.
Right.
So I think it always depends on what your comparison is, and it's the same in these studies. So it's always what your comparator is. If you have a healthy comparator, which is you're replacing it with equal amount or more vegetables, which maybe doesn't have as much sugar, but still has tons of micronutrients, has the bioflavonoids you're talking about, and carotenoids, and all those really
magical things.
Important things. Yeah. Then that's a different discussion, but unfortunately that's not what most people are doing. So what you're saying is you're getting yours maybe from vegetables and other sources. I would say people that don't eat a lot of fruit, they're actually getting it from refined starches and carbohydrates. So I think always depends, and in nutrition we always say this, is it always depends what the comparator is. Like, what are you replacing it with? Because everything is going to be an exchange, a replacement. When you have a diet, you take something out, well, what are you putting in? If you put something in, well, what are you going to take out? So I think it's important to put it in that context. And I think the issue is that people are consuming enough. And the one thing about fruits and vegetables is they're uncontroversially, certainly even fruit, I want to say, healthy. If you look across the prospective cohorts, you look at across the data, there certainly is no signal for harm that we have seen. If anything,
we need a caveat here. And we're coming to the end of the interview. I have one other question. The caveat is pesticide-free and genetically modified-free. In my humble opinion, these are two critical issues that may actually change the statement. That's my opinion. I know that it doesn't have to be yours, but I'm telling my audience, pesticide-free, because pesticides, we don't know, are not the good things about fruits. And
yeah,
we don't,
I
and,
can't
the,
argue
and
with
the jury
that.
Is out on yeah. GMO yet. The jury is out.
I can't argue with that. The other thing, but what I would say is, if someone's having a lot of animal protein, or basically animal products, the biomagnification of a lot of pesticides and other things is going to be higher in those products than it would be in the fruits or vegetables, which those animals.
Well, and but what you don't know about our show is we promote grass-fed, grass-finished, naturally raised, hormone-free beef, and so. But you're right. You're right. Last question: if I was going to start incorporating fruit into my diet, and I wanted the benefits of glycogen synthetic response, and even the lowering of overall blood sugar. Should I have the apple before the meal, like 10 or 15 minutes before the meal, so it's already moving downstream, or should I have it with the meal or after the meal?
I don't think we have good data there, but when they've done it orally, when they've given the fructose, it's together with the meal.
Okay.
So you would have them at the same time. But what I want to say is you can still pick and choose your fruits carefully. So another thing we looked at was we had a big low glycemic index study we published in the Journal of American Medical Association, a big journal, in over 200 people with diabetes. And we reanalyzed the data to say, what was the most strongest determinant of the improvement in blood sugar that we saw? Which low glycemic index food? Because you can have al dente pasta, you can have a lot of dietary pulses like beans, peas, chickpeas, lentils. There's parboiled rice. There's different ways that we can make low glycemic index food. Well, the strongest determinant, the most important determinant, was low glycemic index fruit. And the level of fructose delivered from that was about this level obtainable from fruit. So it was a catalytic dose of fructose. So what low glycemic index fruit do we have? Well, it tends to be the temperate climate fruit. Those would be apples, like you said, pears, berries, which are not, the non-temperate climate fruit are things like pineapple and papaya. So it's what you want actually are temperate climate fruits, your pears, your apples. The apple a day may well keep the doctor away. Peaches and forest fruits like berries. These tend to actually were the main determinants of the improvement in blood sugar that we saw.
That's excellent.
So I'd like to leave you certainly with that note, because I think you can still pick and choose within your fruit to get more benefit.
Yeah, to dial it in even better. Yeah, don't be willy-nilly with it. And you know what? And that's one of the things I try to convey on the show. It's always much more complex than you think it is. It's worth learning the actual information instead of just trying to gloss over. Everybody in the media is always trying to come up with acronyms and fast ways for people to remember things. And quite often it's just slightly more complex than that. But when you get the right information, you can make the right decisions and things happen. Listen, Dr. Stephen Piper, I want to thank you so much for making time to come on the show today.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Take care.
All the best to you and your viewers. Thank you.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Matt Cahill on. We're going to talk about the Craze lawsuit update. Then later in the show, can it really be good for you? I have to find out. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Calling all men. The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today. Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Guys and gals, are you over 30 with a poor sex drive, gaining unwanted fat, or feel weak or tired? You may be suffering from hormone imbalances that can be treated affordably by physician-supervised hormone therapy. Why wait to feel like you again? Call Core Medical Group now to schedule your hormone check and save $100 when you mention Superhuman Radio. Call 617-869-7961. That's 617-869-7961. Physical and medical history required prior to therapy. Some restrictions apply. Call for details. 617-869-7961. Feel like you again. New from Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. So for those of you who don't remember, some time ago we had Matt Cahill from Driven Sports on the show because a lawsuit was laid against Driven Sports. They were accused of adulterating a very popular product, a pre-workout supplement that I love. And not just for pre-workout. Anytime you need razor focus, laser sharp thought processes, you can turn to a product called Craze. C-R-A-Z-E. And there was a lawsuit out there claiming that Craze contained amphetamines. And in this country, you can say anything you want about anybody you want, and then they have to defend themselves, which is quite unfair. How you doing, Matt?
Good. How are you, Carl?
Hi. So how long ago was that for those people who are not aware of the lawsuit? Let's bring
it up. It was just over a year ago, so it's been dragging on for quite a while.
And this is really a shame. I mean, because... The thing that I want to point out here is the litigiousness of our society and the ability for the judicial system to actually condone this type of frivolous lawsuit that costs companies like Driven Sports tens of thousands of dollars to defend themselves against statements that can be easily made by anybody that wants to, and especially in a state like California, because that's where it was, right? It was in California?
Yeah, it was California. You know, apparently their set of laws for, you know, the requirements in order to bring a lawsuit like this are very, very minimal.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't want to get political, but this is indicative of states that are in financial trouble, and I'll tell you why. California is in deep financial trouble. The state is like on the teeter-tottering on the brink of bankruptcy. And when you see states falling into this mismanagement of monies where they are depleted and they are financially threatened, they find ways to exploit the population. And one of the easiest ways to exploit the population is through the judicial system, by the broadening of laws that gather more people into this net and get them involved in the judicial system. And because then they can generate more tax dollars. They can, because that's how they feed the judicial system. So one of the ways that they do this is allowing companies to levy frivolous lawsuits against other people and companies, because that brings tens of thousands of dollars into the state in the way of legal fees, court fees, and everything else you can imagine. So this is really terrible.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, you know, for them, it's, you know, to start the lawsuit, it's like a, you know, it's, you've got a lawyer and he does a one-time filing fee and he starts it, so the state gets paid from that. But then, you know, in response, we have to have a, you know, our legal team who, you know,
has to be, and you have to find a California, even if you have a good attorney, you got to find somebody that's registered in California to be involved in the court case.
Exactly. So now you've got to get someone in California, they get paid in California, they get taxed in California, and California gets more tax dollars.
Yeah. And plus, the judicial system gets to dictate more tax dollars to grow, because they say, hey, look at all these lawsuits. We need more public defenders. We need more this. We need more judges. We need more that. And absolutely, it's a disgusting way to grow an economy. And California is really one of the states that's very – I was shocked that in California they still hand out jaywalking tickets. Think about that. So,
yeah.
Okay, let's switch gears now. So a year ago – you didn't discuss who this was back then. Can you talk now who it was that actually levied this lawsuit against you?
It was a single person, a guy named Aaron Carman had filed, claiming that Craze, it was his belief that Craze contained amphetamine and that the product didn't work.
Well, if it contained amphetamine, how could it not work? What? Those are contradictory, both of those.
It was one of the first things that you could, when reading it, that, you know, is a glaring issue with how, you know, baseless the lawsuit was, is that if you really did believe that it had amphetamine in it, then it absolutely would work. And if it doesn't work, then how could you believe that it had amphetamine in it?
It was just him. That was it. He started this whole ball rolling.
He was the only one. And he was the only one that, I mean, it was, I guess, in the, you know, the lawyers had planned for, you know, the future to be able to have it be a class action suit,
right.
But there's no amphetamine in it, so he was the only one. They never got anyone else, and that was it.
Nobody else joined, and that's interesting. Okay, first of all, before we talk about how things went, were you able to determine why Aaron Carman had, you know, this issue with the product?
No, we had tried to depose him multiple times. And every time that, you know, it was up for schedule to happen, there was a reason for delay. And so they had to delay it and delay it and delay it. And, you know, they've been dragging it out. And then finally, you know, when the new year rolled around, I had said to the lawyers, you know, we can't let this keep continuing to just hang out there, because until there's a, you know, a final end to it that we can show that there never was amphetamine, never will be amphetamine in Craze, people are still going to continue and cling to this, you know, this idea that there's a possibility that it could be.
Right. Did it in fact hurt sales initially, long term? Do you still see the effects? Because let's face it, a lot of people are conservative. They're like, look, I'm not going to wait to find out. I'm not taking this stuff.
Right. And, you know, in the very initial, you know, in the initial, let's say, 30 or 60 days after it was filed, Sales hadn't been impacted, so it looked like it was going to be, you know, that most people would view this as being some kind of just fringe thing where it's a, you know, they're just a baseless lawsuit where they're going to try and shake down people for money. And but then after that, then sales did come down a little bit, and we, I wouldn't say that it was a lot, that we could definitely tie it into it, you know, to a specific number, but we received periodically, you know, every couple weeks or every week. In the beginning, it was almost like every 3 or 4, you know, days of someone saying, oh, we heard there's a lawsuit that there's amphetamine in it. Is it true? And it's, you know, you're constantly answering
and,
this.
Yeah, it's and you can't unring a bell. It's like, you know, once that's out there in the atmosphere, so to speak, people make decisions, and especially professional athletes who can't take a chance. Using something that could potentially have a banned substance in it. So they're going to err on the side of caution, goes, you know what, I'd really like to try Craze, but and you're not going to hear from them. It's not like they're going to say, hey, does it have amphetamine? They're just not going to use it. They're not going to reach out to you. So I have to imagine that there are financial implications and lost sales that will be impossible for you to gauge.
Sure, and we're going to have a hard time, you know, the people that may have read about it to begin with on the internet, unless they've gone back to check to see that it's now ended, they'll go on continuing to believe that there's something in it, you know, without following up to see what the end result was. The assumption will continue to be what it was.
We have to take a commercial break. But when we come back, I've got lots of questions. We're going to talk about the end result of the case and where Driven Sports goes now to repair the damage done by Aaron Carmen. Stay tuned. You're listening to Super Human Radio. We'll be right back.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Ragish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RG Cell Super Stem Cell Support. RG Cell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RG Cell banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. 1986. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Extreme Formulations is the only company with a proprietary diet protein product with a 49% whey to 51% casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It also contains micro encapsulation essential fatty acids, so they're stable in the bottle to deliver a muscle-building punch. And it tastes great, too. Flavors like banana cream, chocolate peanut butter, cookies and cream, and many more. All their dairy protein is from right here in the USA. It's 100% made in America. Go to xfmuscle.com and get your Ultra Peptide 2.0 today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
You like the mashups? Monday through Friday, from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the morning, you can listen to these mashups while you train, do cardio, whatever. Limited commercial interruption. And that is once every 15 to 18 minutes, you hear a 30-second spot. So it's not the worst thing in the world. We get a lot of emails from people saying it's made their workouts a lot easier. Great music. Lots of it. Check it out. We're talking with Matt Cahill from Driven Sports. And for those of you who don't know Matt, I got to tell you something. I know Matt a long, long time. Probably 13, 14 years. Matt has contributed to the nutraceutical landscape in so many different ways over the past decade and longer with fantastic products. He's brilliant. He's a brilliant formulator. He operates below the radar, so he doesn't generally get the credit that he deserves for his brilliance. I can tell you that I continue to use Craze. The stuff is fantastic. It is a nootropic, more than it is a pre-workout supplement. We've actually talked about this on the show. If you want a good workout, it starts in your brain. Fatigue starts in the brain, and your intention to lift heavy starts in your brain. And Craze focuses you like nothing out there. It has a minimal amount of caffeine, like 80 milligrams in an entire scoop. So if you've never tried Craze, I can assure you it does not contain amphetamines, that you should try it. And I can promise you that if you do try it, you probably won't use anything else pre-workout ever again. All right, so with that being said, is there any way for you to get any satisfaction, as the song implied as we went into the break, out of this? Can you do anything about the good name of the company and the product, or do you just have to lick your wounds financially as well and walk away?
I mean, it's probably better to, there's definitely avenues to go to try to,
Civilly, right? You couldn't go after this guy civilly if you wanted to?
We could try. I just don't know how much that it matters. It's like, then we keep it, in the headlines longer this ridiculous statement that he made to begin with, And that was our whole thing all along was you believe it, so where's the proof for it,
So what did a judge in California determine about the lawsuit?
Well, eventually, it came down to where we had to constantly file motions to compel, to force them to release information.
Right.
Where they had claimed that it was, had amphetamine, claimed that they had lab tests and,
Yeah, show us the proof. Show us the proof.
Right. Because we have, dozens and probably over 60 different lab tests from four different labs, and every single one shows.
And
the
you
same
actually,
thing.
And you actually, I know this for. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misstating the facts, but you actually went into inventories around the country that other people had already purchased and took bottles out of there. So it wasn't like you handpicked and said, "Well, send them these samples here."
No, we sent every single lot.
I mean, we
went out, we got it, we sent in every single lot. We have. All raw material gets tested before it goes into the product anyways. So, we know that there's no adulterants before it gets in the product. And just by some, sheer chance of mistake, we test everything that comes out. So we have lab tests on every single lot. So there, it was, we knew for certain that it wasn't true. It was just how long was it going to take for us to be able to prove it while this goes on and it damages or potentially damages the name. And so eventually through, multiple motions to compel, we got them to give us this supposed lab test that they had, and sure enough, it showed Craze was clear.
You're kidding me. So
yep.
Their lab test showed Craze was clear, but they still filed a lawsuit saying it contained amphetamine.
Yep.
What a disgusting thing to do.
It's terrible. It's terrible that California or any system, it just seems to be worse in California.
Now, why doesn't California have it? Why doesn't California have a punitive step for someone who takes these frivolous lawsuits up and launches them, especially in clear evidence that they did not have anything to support their claims? They've marred the good name of the company and the product.
My loose understanding of it, obviously I'm not a lawyer, so, you know, my loose understanding of it is we could file against them, but California also has anti-SLAPP laws so that they could then refile against us claiming that we're now attacking them.
You know, and this is very similar to what happens in family court as well. There are laws designed to protect whistleblowers, for instance.
Right.
And there are laws to protect women in family court. A woman can lie and say her spouse struck her, and then the spouse can go to court and prove that he didn't. But then the spouse cannot go out and sue her because they don't want to, quote unquote, discourage people from coming forward with information. So what they do in the guise of, quote unquote, not discouraging people from coming forward with information, like in this case here with you, is they allow a large majority of liars to be protected by a few people that the law was designed to protect.
Exactly. And they allow it to, you're allowed to file without showing any of the supporting evidence prior to it, which is really my biggest issue, you know, is, you know, obviously, you know, you don't want to prevent people from being able to sue the companies that are doing harm, but in this case, we aren't. And had you provided us with the lab test to begin with, which obviously you wouldn't have because then there would have been no case, lawsuit to begin
right.
with, but, you know, I mean, really, there's got to be a better system for this.
Did you ever have a chance to depose Aaron Carman?
No, they constantly delayed it and then rescheduled it. We tried, I think, like...
Have you ever had any communication with... Now that the... So basically, the lawsuit has been what? Thrown out now that they saw that they have no case?
Right. It's been dismissed.
Without prejudice, I would imagine.
Yes.
Now that this has been dismissed, has Mr. Carman reached out to you and apologized for his maliciousness?
No.
Really?
Nope.
Do you even think Mr. Carman's name is legitimate? Do you think he's hiding behind another name? You think that's really who he is?
I don't know. I mean, my feeling all along was that this really had nothing to do with this consumer, that it was more of
a competitor.
Yeah, a competitor in the industry trying to get certain information, because the questions that they had asked of us when the suit first started, nothing had to do with testing of the product for controlled substances. And if that was your claim, you would think you'd want to see it.
It's almost like they laid this claim. But then they wanted to go on a fishing expedition to see what they could find out that they could then turn the case into, maybe.
Or use for other advantage. They wanted to know the supplier of all the raw materials.
Really?
They wanted to know who do we sell the product to, what's the average sales price.
Did you have to turn all that stuff over?
No.
Good for you. Good for you. So the fishing expedition failed for them.
Yes.
And Mr. Aaron Carman, I have a funny feeling that that's a fictitious name. I'm willing to bet that it is, that it's an affront for some other purpose, as you point out.
Right.
And you know what the good news is? If it was a competitor trying to find out trade secrets to then, profit from, they failed miserably. And whoever they are, and maybe, I hope they're listening to this show, they're cowards. And
yeah.
They really are the type of scum that hurts industry and people all over the world. They really are. So
yeah,
they have that to look forward to.
Yeah, it's exactly what you wouldn't want. You know what I mean? You wouldn't want industry, you know, to be like, and I get it that, you know, if you're selling a popular product and now, you know, your competitors want to know what it is or be able to copy it or come close to copying it, I can understand wanting to get it.
Yeah.
But really the answer should be is then do your own research and formulate a product that's, you know, as good or better. And
or license it from Matt. Call Matt up and say, you know, we're sorry we did this to you. We want to call it something else. We want to buy the product from you.
Right. And instead it was, oh, let's start a lawsuit. We'll claim that there's a controlled substance in it and see where it gets us.
Yeah, we'll get to see all of his pertinent information that we need in order to then compete against him. A terrible,
yeah,
terrible situation.
You would think that, you know, one of your concerns would be the testing of controlled substances and safety. And, you know, we have four double-blind, placebo-controlled, tested-in-human studies. showing it's unequivocally safe,
right,
and effective. But
yeah,
no interest in wanting to see those. They wanted to see where are we buying our raw materials from.
Yeah. Oh man, this is terrible. Okay, we're before we run out of time, I have to move on to something else. The apple pie. Who thought that you could make a pre-workout drink taste like apple pie? It even tastes buttery. When did that flavor come out?
It just came out maybe 2 months ago or 3 months ago.
Is it available widespread?
It's available exclusively at bodybuilding.com.
It's a great flavor. Now, you know me, Matt. I just throw the scoop in my mouth and then kind of like let my saliva kind of break it down. But I did drink one with a little bit of water one day, and it's just an amazing flavor.
It's unreal how good that it really tastes like apple pie. We basically, you know, had this idea for Craze that we were going to start having like seasonal flavors. One of the guys in our office, Rob, is a huge fan of ice cream, and he scours the internet for seasonal ice creams and trying to get them and try them and tasting them and see how it is. And so as we're talking about in the office one day, it's like, why don't we try doing it with Craze and see what our flavor guy can come up with? And basically we just said, as long as it tastes good, we're willing to put it out. We don't care how crazy of an idea it sounds.
Right.
You know, we'll try it.
Yeah, no, it's really good. Okay, so what is now, is there damage control the next step, or is damage control over, and what do you do now to get the word out that Craze is safe to use, even by people who are drug tested by, you know, groups that have jurisdiction over their sport? What do you do to reverse the damage done by, you know, quote unquote, Aaron Carmen or whoever the company happens to be?
We're in the process of getting the four studies that I had talked about published in peer reviewed journals. So we believe that'll be a big part of it.
Yeah.
To be able to show everyone that the product is safe, and clearly if it was spiked with a controlled substance, it's not going to be safe, and you're not going to get healthier while you're using it. And that's not what our studies show, that you do get healthier. You do increase lean mass and reduce fat and increase strength, you know, when using it as opposed to not. So that's a big part of it. The other part is, you know, shows like this, getting it out there, word of mouth, to let people know that, you know,
Craze is safe.
Craze is safe, and it's effective, and it doesn't contain amphetamine.
What I noticed that you added creatine to it. That was not in the original formula, was it?
No, it was. We had it in there originally, but the order, we had TMG first and then creatine second.
But you're using creatine in there not for ATP replenishment and muscle, but for its effect on the brain, right?
The brain and in strength.
Oh, really?
Although it's a, you know,
low dose.
It's not too low. I mean, it's over a gram per scoop. So I mean, it's a pretty good it's a pretty good dose.
Okay.
But it's something where you're not going to make it. Taking creatine one day isn't going to change the strength of your workout in that day. It's more of the accumulative effect. So
right,
while you're taking Craze for the nootropic and the strength or the focusing effect, as you continue to use it, you'll get the buildup in strength from creatine.
Any big strength athletes out there praising you? You have any stories to close the interview on that, you know, somebody who hit a PR or anything that just maybe, I know you probably get emails all the time about how great this stuff is.
We do, and it's funny. One of our actual employees who is not a powerlifting guy loves it and uses it. Actually, works at UPS, and he's got all of his drivers at UPS that use it also, especially during the Christmas season. But he's an avid weightlifter, and he's a really tall guy. His name's Tom. He's like 6'3", Tom Lang, and the guy deadlifts like you can't imagine. But being on Craze, you know, he's gone from deadlifting in the mid 400s to over 600. It's insane.
Yeah. No, I believe it. This stuff is great. And like I said, I use Craze some mornings when I come into the studio if I feel a little languished for some reason. I'm not on my game and I have 2 hours of interviews to do. I'll throw a scoop of Craze down and it's like boing, I'm like ready to go. It's great stuff.
Yeah,
really is. Really
same for us in the office. You got a rough morning or a ton of work. You know, we do the same thing. Obviously, you don't have to take as much, you know, but
I usually start out with a half a scoop, and then maybe about an hour and a half later, I'll take the other half of the scoop right before the show starts, and that carries me through, and I feel great.
Yeah, that's pretty close to how we do it, too.
Yeah. Look, I'm sorry that I just want to mention his name again, Aaron Carmen, if you really are Aaron Carmen. You know, it's sad what they did, but you know what? You prevail. And that's the important thing, to move past this and now double down, your desire for success, to kind of just put it in their face and say, look, You know, you tried to make us stumble. You didn't. You tried to steal our trade secrets. You couldn't. And we just move on now. That's it.
Exactly.
Matt, thanks so much for being on the show. And also, thanks for continuing to be a sponsor of Superhuman Radio, man.
Thanks for having me, Carl.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right.
All right. Stay tuned. When we come back, we will have... I should have used crazy. We're going to have Evan Dollard on. We're going to talk about the new Quest protein bar. Unbelievable. I haven't talked about Quest protein bars in a while because, you know, they're all good. They're great. This one's unbelievable. Uh-oh. Aaron Carmen's probably going to sue them. I just thought of it. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Guys and gals, are you over 30 with a poor sex drive, gaining unwanted fat, or feel weak or tired? You may be suffering from hormone imbalances that can be treated affordably by physician-supervised hormone therapy. Why wait to feel like you again? Call Core Medical Group now to schedule your hormone check and save $100 when you mention Superhuman Radio. Call 617-869-7961. That's 617-869-7961. Physical and medical history required prior to therapy. Some restrictions apply. Call for details. 617-869-7961. Feel like you again.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Make 2013 your best year ever by getting the jump on burning more body fat. Now you can try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch free for 1 month. What do you have to lose except for the weight? You've heard listeners on the show talk about how great it works for them. What are you waiting for? This patch works for anyone at any age. Never any jitters or stimulants. Just fat loss. Don't miss the boat. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RGCell banner ad today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Okay, go on.
Take two.
I got 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, we've had Ron Kane from Quest Nutrition on the show in the past when they first started to introduce their protein bars and then when the new natural line came out. And There's nothing but great things that can be said about their product. And just when you thought it was the best it could be, they come out with a flavor that traditionally is not a flavor that I would buy. I got to be honest with you. I hate chocolate chip cookie dough products. In MRPs, Muscle Milk, protein bars, they suck. They don't taste like chocolate chip. They don't taste like cookie. They don't taste like cookie dough. They taste horrible. Okay, so we get the new chocolate chip cookie dough Quest protein bar, which is in the natural line. So it has stevia and a very, very insignificant amount of erythritol, which is a sugar alcohol that has been shown not to upset the stomach. I can't stop eating them. It's now my new favorite bar. So we're joined by Evan Dollard. How you doing, Evan?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
Unbelievable, man. So last night, Elisa and I, Sunday nights, like a couple of times a month, we have a family night where a bunch of us get together at a friend's house and cook different ethnicity type foods. All right. So last night was German night. Jerry and Karen Ziegert entertained at our friend Howard's house, and we were eating all this great German food. At the end of the night, you know, people having dessert, and Elisa pulls out a couple Quest protein bars, the chocolate chip cookie dough, throws them in the microwave for 10 seconds, cuts them into cubes, and starts handing them out. And people were flattened out. Like, they couldn't believe that this was a protein bar. It tastes really just you pick the most decadent chocolate chip cookie you can come up with. Otis Spunkmeyer, I don't know. It tastes like that. And everybody's going, you're kidding me. There's 1 gram of sugar. That's all? You're kidding me. There's protein in this? Yes. And there's one guy who has the most discerning taste. He is a huge, gastronomist. Jerry Ziegert only goes to the finest restaurants. He knows everything about food and wine pairing. And the guy is just, I mean, he's a culinary expert. And he looks at me, he goes, I usually never eat these kind of bars. He goes, but I'd buy these, which speaks volumes. I got to tell you, because this guy is like, he's a snob when it comes to good food. He went right on the website. He started looking at all the flavors. How the hell did you guys do that? And how does it taste so good yet not be so bad for you?
You know what? It was an almost magical process over here. I've been a part of the Quest team now for the last 6 months. So I got to be in all the meetings and all the testings and everything up that was leading into this launch. And it's really an incredible team that we have here. You mentioned Otis Spunkmeyer. When I was in high school, those were the cookies that my high school had, right? And so
right.
I can't even tell you how many I ate, you know, at lunchtime in the cafeteria. And to think that now, all these years later, that this is like the real food that could have been available to me that tastes nearly exactly the same.
That's interesting.
Incredible.
Here's the thing that I find most intriguing about this bar. Most of the cookie dough, chocolate chip cookie dough bars out there, they have like flex, if you will, of what is supposed to look like chocolate.
Yeah.
Like flex, you know what I mean? Like little dots of stuff in there. It could be pepper for all we know, but it's supposed to be the chocolate portion of, you guys actually have like the striated layers of chocolate that you would find in a real chocolate chip cookie after it has cooked a little bit and the nib has melted flat inside the dough.
Yeah. We found a new, well, and that's the thing. They developed this new way of creating the chocolate separate and then kind of breaking it up into the chunks and then adding that into the process so that the chocolate could be thick and just sweet and delicious and separate from the actual bar itself. So it tastes more like you're actually eating cookie dough. And again, it was just one of those things where every tasting that we had, you know, sitting around the conference table, like getting this, like making sure that it was exactly the way that we wanted it before we shared it with the world. And we got it there. And it's just amazing. And like you said, you put it in the microwave for 10, 15 seconds, and it literally tastes like you've got hot, warm cookie dough coming straight out of the oven. It's incredible.
Now, Shannon Yorton Pena, that's her full name, correct? Did I get that right?
She really is
the one who originally started developing these bars, and she was the one who started making them in her kitchen. And obviously, the company has come, you know, just leaps and bounds. I mean, Quest Nutrition by far is a model of what a food product company adhering to engineered nutrition can be when they have high standards in both the quality of the product and the palatability of the product. Was she involved? Did she spearhead this development of this flavor, or has it become a much larger process now?
Well, it's always a larger process, but it has its roots with Shannon, like in her kitchen, and that's the whole story. You know, everybody who was a part of this company, we created it because there wasn't another company out there that cared as much about the ingredients that they wanted to put in their bodies. You know, we wanted a delicious, high protein, low carb option that just wasn't on the market. So we found the highest quality protein. We wanted to make sure that it tasted great and that it was going to have enough of the high quality ingredients all around, so that after workout or before workout, or even just like if you need a snack in the middle of the day, you can reach for it and feel good about it, the fact that you're putting it in your body.
How popular is this bar already? When did you release it?
We released it just a couple of weeks ago, and honestly, the online orders have been blowing up, and we couldn't be more thrilled because we were super excited about it for, you know, weeks leading up to this launch, and we just couldn't wait to share it with everybody and hope that they'd have the same reaction, and it turns out that they have, so we're very, very excited about it.
Are you afraid that this bar will dwarf all the other bars?
You know what? We're not. I mean, we hope that it does at first, obviously. But it's one of those things where everybody, you know, and everybody that I talk to has a different favorite flavor. You know, we just launched right before this was banana nut muffin, and a lot of people are reaching out for that one, but still cinnamon roll is a favorite. Chocolate brownie isn't going anywhere because, you know, that's a very popular one as well. But, you know, you got to go through phases, and you have to have options because if you focus in too much on one flavor, you might decide that you need a break from that and move on towards something else.
Yeah, because I've really gone crazy with the peanut butter cups. Now, let's talk about the peanut butter cups just for a second, and then we're going to take a break. When the peanut butter cup first came out, you guys had just a small little hiccup in it, and that was that the chocolate in the center at the bottom was a little thin, and depending on the temperature, it could the chocolate would peel away and stay inside the cup. But you guys solved that problem really quickly, and the quality of the chocolate has improved. And this is, we give these chocolate peanut butter cups to Elise's niece and nephew, and they swear that they're eating Reese peanut butter cups.
Yeah. And again, that was, I mean, huge props to our development team and everybody who was in there, like, trying to make that happen. Because, you know, when you're developing new product, you have those hiccups along the way. But they're so dedicated to creating just an amazing eating experience. And that's what we want. Like when I was a kid, you know, I would go, you know, trick-or-treating or whatever, and those Reese's peanut butter cups were like gold.
Yeah,
you know, bring them to school the next day, and like you'd trade them for, you wouldn't trade them, like, or if you did, it'd be for like a fruit roll-up and a bag of Doritos, like they were worth their weight in gold.
Right.
But again, so much sugar in there, so much fat, high calories, and like we want to create something that people love, but again, they can feel good about eating it. So you got 10 grams of protein in each one of those cups, so you got 20 in the entire package, and you feel like you're treating yourself, and you are. But you don't have to be as concerned about what you're putting in your body.
Yeah, that's been my new favorite. But Elisa was telling me just this morning, she says, well, I think when we order our next bunch of bars, I think we're just going to order all the new chocolate chip cookie dough because they're just that good. They are. Yeah. They have taken the Quest protein bar to a whole new level, in my humble opinion. And that's not taking anything away. That's saying a lot. That's not taking anything away. Because your bars are the best, by far, of anything out there, and including some real food products, right?
Wow.
And this and this bar just is like, oh, my God, what are they going to do next? What could they do next? We have to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking right now about the new Quest Protein Bar. With Evan Dollard, it's amazing. If you have not tried the new chocolate chip cookie dough Quest protein bar, I challenge you to order a box. And if you don't love them, I will buy your box from you because I'll love them. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Calling all men. The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Have you ever been let down by so-called nitric oxide muscle pump products before? Well, prepare to be shocked. Vengeance is like nothing you've ever tried before. Vengeance leverages several different scientifically proven technologies to deliver what some users say are painfully explosive pumps. If you are satisfied with nitric oxide products that make you wonder if they're working, move on. But if you want a muscle pump that you'll not only feel, but others will see, train with a vengeance. Go to xfmuscle.com today and get vengeance. New from Rob Riggish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to the Blueprintbulletin.com today. Guys and gals, are you over 30 with a poor sex drive, gaining unwanted fat, or feel weak or tired? You may be suffering from hormone imbalances that can be treated affordably by physician-supervised hormone therapy. Why wait to feel like you again? Call Core Medical Group now to schedule your hormone check and save $100 when you mention Superhuman Radio. Call 617-869-7961. That's 617-869-7961. Physical and medical history required prior to therapy. Some restrictions apply. Call for details, 617-869-7961. Feel like you again.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're joined today by Evan Dollard from Quest Nutrition, Quest Protein Bars, the single best protein bar out there. I just can't say enough about Quest Protein Bars, because the truth of the matter is that I avoided protein bars in the past. I always worried when I ate them. I always felt like the label claims were skewed. They tasted like, you know, crap. I'm sorry. They just left so much to be desired. And then the Quest protein bar came along, and you know, the first one was the vanilla almond. To me, it tasted like a bit of honey. It was so good, and I was like, "This is great." And then they came out with the berry, the mixed berry, which was like that was my favorite for a long time, and it still is one of my favorites. And you know, I mean, it's like the bars got better and better. The flavors were always what you expected the flavor to taste like. Then they came out with the chocolate peanut butter cup. Was like total game changer, because now it was away from a pressed extruded bar. It was, you know, something different. Then the chocolate crunch bar. Now this one. It just, I just can't imagine the brain trust of talent that they have over there, and the corporate culture, because you know it has to be an amazing corporate culture to turn out this kind of product time and time again, and everybody at the company works so hard, they're so mission sensitive. It's just got to be a great place to work, is it?
It really is. It really is an amazing place to work. And like, I was kind of in the same boat as you, where, you know, anytime I would approach a protein bar in the past, I would be wary because I knew that even if it tasted okay, normally that was because it was loaded with sugar and all these ingredients that I didn't even recognize on the label. So to finally have an option that I actually, approve of, you know, physically, because I'm very active in my everyday life. For the last three seasons of American Ninja Warrior, I've been one of the top competitors on that show. And so when I found that this is the type of thing that can actually fuel my workouts and fuel my preparation for something like that, you know, I just stuck with it and wanted to be a part of the team.
Wow. Now talk about that. What is American Ninja Warrior?
American Ninja Warrior is this athletic-based game show competition that's on NBC and G4, and it's a series of obstacle course races, which involves upper body agility, lower body explosiveness, and it's this all-out, it's basically the world's toughest obstacle course.
Wow.
And so I'm constantly trying to take care of my body and train hard and be prepared for anything, and Quest has helped me along that journey.
So if I go to their, I'm at their website, would I find pictures of you there?
If you go to the Ninja Warrior website?
Yeah, yeah, I'm there. No, I'm right there. I'm at G4 TV, American Ninja Warrior Photo Gallery. A&W's new season, five tryouts. Obviously, you have to try out just to get on the show, right?
It's true. Yeah. So they just made the announcement last week, and they posted that page on G4TV.com. And so you can find, you can find my face on the page for the actual audition notice. So season five, there's me on the double steps, you know, with my shirt off, and a huge part of that preparation.
That's you in the video. You're like doing the what do they call that? Like the Hulk yell? Is that you?
It could be. I'm not sure what you're looking at.
Okay, I gotta check this out. So, what did you do? What did you do prior that made you confident that you could do the American Ninja Warrior competition?
You know what? Honestly enough, I back 5 years ago they did a reboot of American Gladiators, and I was cast as a contestant in that. And I won the first season, so I was able to translate that training for American Gladiators onto the course for American Ninja Warrior.
Dude, that is so awesome! That's so hard.
Yeah, it was a pretty wild experience. And in fact, another person over here that we really enjoy working with on the Quest team is this guy, Mike O'Hearn, who was
on
American
Gladiator. Yeah, everybody knows Mike.
Yeah, of course. So we've here at Quest Nutrition, we've been working on a couple of video projects with him and partnering up with him and the work that he does, because he's just a legend. He really is.
And he's got a really, and I'll tell you something else. I met him, I want to say I met him at the Arnold a couple years ago. I don't know if he was at Dave Palumbo's booth or something like that, but he's a really nice guy too. He's like real down to earth guy.
Yeah, very down to earth and super driven and very ready to share his enthusiasm and his passion for what he does in the gym and take care of his body. So we're excited to have him be as enthusiastic about our bars as we are about what he's accomplished.
Right, and so you're going to be in this season again in the American Ninja Warrior Games, I take it?
Yep. Currently training right now for season five. They haven't announced when the actual date for the prelims is going to be, but typically middle of March, end of March is somewhere in there.
Do you have to have martial arts skills in order to do this?
You know what? It's interesting enough that I get that question more than anything. It's because ninja and warrior are both in the title, but it's all obstacle course racing. And it's just a fun way of wording it. In fact, it was a concept that was developed from a show that was very, very popular in Japan. It went 28 seasons in Japan, just the most outrageous obstacles they could construct that actually required athleticism. So it's not your wipeout type of obstacle course
right,
where it's all
right.
padded and, nerfed up.
Well, and purposely done to make people look like fools. It's not
exactly,
really a test of skill as much as it is the test of your ability to be embarrassed and not just quit.
Exactly. So this is much, much different. It is, as you said, a test of skill and strength. And I think that's part of what, Quest was noticing in me, is because, Quest philosophy, like you said, we're driven towards, crushing the limits of human potential.
Right.
So we wanted to provide the highest quality bar with, you know, the high protein and the low carbs and everything else that people who are, you know, reaching out and trying to push the limits of their own potential could feel good about. And so they try, and whenever they see someone like Michael Hearn or you know, like, you know, in the bodybuilding arena or like me in the Ninja Warrior arena, they want to align themselves with that and see what we can truly accomplish together.
Now, you're a youth athletic instructor. What is a youth athletic instructor? You work with kids and what schools, what grades, and so on?
You know what I did? I did for a long time. Lately, I've been speaking at middle schools, you know, and kind of sharing my enthusiasm for fitness and this kind of pursuit of greatness that I'm on and, you know, trying to inspire kids to do the same. And I for a long time, I worked at a health club teaching them rock climbing lessons and swimming lessons and, you know, all around general sports classes, but just to kind of lay that foundation and enthusiasm in kids for staying physically active, because it was so important to me, you know, in my upbringing, because my dad was my T-ball instructor, you know, when I was a kid.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, when I was coming home from high school with bad grades and, you know, taking naps after school, he's like, you know what, you're going to, you know, go for a run around the block, go run a mile, time yourself. And, you know, he really knew how to kind of trigger that passion to really better myself. And part of that trigger was using physical fitness. So knowing how important it was to me and my development, I wanted to share that with young people.
Now, do you have to live out in California to be on the American Ninja Warrior show, or are you still in Chicago?
You know, I'm actually in California now, and it's a nationwide casting call. So last year they held prelims in Venice Beach, California.
Very cool.
And they also did Dallas and Miami. So I'm assuming they're going to do something similar this year. But yeah, it's nationwide, so wherever's closest, that's where you'll try to get after it and see what you can do.
Are there age limits? We have a lot of people in the superhuman nation that probably could do what needs to be done. Is there a cutoff? Like, they want young guys, they don't want the old guys? How does that work?
They love old guys, actually. There was a guy there in his mid-50s, they called him Grandpa Ninja, that competed last year. He might have even been 60. But no, the 21 is the youngest you can go. So you have to be at least 21, but sky's the limit for your age, as long as you're fit and active and willing to get after it.
I would love somebody in the audience to do this. Check it out, man. Go NBC.com has a whole thing about the American Ninja Warrior. I'm sorry, I'm reading at the same time. Or you can go to G4TV.com. That would be really cool if one of us older guys would represent the superhuman nation by getting on American Ninja.
No, it would be great.
We'll support you too. I mean, if money needs to be raised to fly you someplace, we can get the audience together and we'll get the money together too.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Very, cool. Very, very cool. So, okay, so you are technically a sponsored athlete then, I take it, right?
Well, I'm actually full-time with Quest. You know, I was so enthusiastic about the product and we found a way to make it work where I'm here in the office every day, just really trying to further this company and seeing what else we can develop and what other great products we can bring to the market.
I got to tell you, I love Tom Bilyeu, great, great dude, fantastic person to work with. I love Ron Kane. Ron Kane, in my opinion, is just a genius. And he's not only is he brilliant, but he has the ability to inspire in other people, that where they buy into the mission and they follow through. And that is a quality of leadership that is very scarce in our country today.
Yeah.
Ron is a fantastic dude. I love him. I can't wait to see him at the Arnold this year, too. So.
Yeah, as you said. I mean, you said it better than I ever could. Both him, both Ron and Tom, just incredibly inspirational guys.
Yeah, yeah.
To spend any amount of time with them is to feel like I'm actually bettering myself just being in their presence.
It's got to feel like working at Quest has to be what it was like to work at, like, Apple computers back in the day when it was in a garage, or Microsoft when it was, you know, Bill Gates was working out of his garage. It's like you just feel like, oh, my God, this is magic. We are involved in magic right here.
Yeah,
you know?
It really does. It feels like we're on the cusp of something truly transformative.
And I got to tell you something else. I know some people in the industry that you know, they were like, oh yeah, Quest, and you know, well, they're, you know, they're not that sophisticated, and you know, let's watch and see what happens. And all those people are eating their flipping words now because of what I said before. Because there's the most dedicated things that they do at Quest. They're dedicated to the quality. and to the palatability of the product. Those two things, it's like they will not sacrifice either of those things. They will not say, well, we can throw a little crap in there because it'll taste better. And they will also won't go, well, if it's going to be healthy, it's going to have to taste like crap. It's like they struggle to make sure that those two elements are addressed. And what ends up happening is people fall in love with the taste of the bars and will eat them uncontrolled because they know that they're good for you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you're saying it better than I ever could. And we have these exact, you know, discussions while we're here in the office where we're just saying, you know, it's not quite there yet, and what can we do to better it? And, you know, what haven't we tried? Like, what can we get that's a high-quality ingredient we can put in here that's really going to make this flavor pop and have this be an incredible eating experience? And like you said, it's that the incredible people, it's the inspiration, it's the drive, and it's the passion that's behind each one of these individuals here that truly makes this product one of a kind in the industry.
Great product. You got to go out. If you have not tried the Quest chocolate chip cookie dough, I promise you, if you're like me where you're like, dude, chocolate chip cookie dough products suck. They don't taste like chocolate chip. They don't taste like cookie dough. They taste like sawdust with little black specks in it. You get ready to be amazed. Because this stuff, you give this to your kids, cut it in little squares, put it in the microwave, flatten it out a little bit with your hand after it gets soft, and hand it to your child, and say, here, want a chocolate chip cookie? And they'll look at you and go, can I get another? I'm telling you, man, this is it. This is the real McCoy. They broke the mold here, no pun intended. Listen, Evan, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. We'll be rooting for you on the American Ninja Warrior. How's that sound?
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
All right. Take care, brother.
All right.
All right. So there you go. Thanks to everybody who was on the show today. I want to thank Dr. John Stephen Piper for talking about dietary fructose. Maybe it's not the devil after all. I'm rethinking it. Elisa was right. Also, we want to thank Matt Cahill for coming on and talking about the Craze lawsuit. For those of you who missed that, the lawsuit has been dismissed. They did not find amphetamine in Craze. All this past year of having to defend his product was unnecessary, just maliciousness on somebody's part. I think the guy's name was Aaron Carmen. Get a job. Do something with your life, Aaron, okay? And then, of course, thanks to the folks at Quest for continuing to produce the best protein bars in the world and for Evan Dollard to come on. Who knew he was a celebrity? I didn't know that. American Ninja Warrior. Why didn't they tell me that? What? All right. We'll see you tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio. Thanks for listening.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Never before has an anti-